I want to call to order the October 13th, 2015 regular meeting. Mr. Ellis, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, Ms. Smoltz.
Mr. Bochinski?
Here.
Mr. Buckle?
Here.
Mrs. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Elder?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Thank you. All right, we have presentations, reports, and initiatives. I want to remind people that we are streaming live video and audio again. And that's a fixed camera up in the corner. And if you needed to pick up an agenda as you came in and any other materials.
Okay. With that, the construction update, Dave and Jack. Jack? Jack?
You're so good at this.
Huh? I know.
You shouldn't have sat down.
Actually, things are going very well. We've had great weather. All the concrete block is pretty much completed. They're up to the load bearing, which means the next step will be steel delivery, and they'll start setting steel. So things are just really going very well. So after they get the steel up, they'll start roofing. So things are good.
Very smooth. Got the update. Any questions?
We're not right. We're starting to run into that fall winter thing. You guys start talking about the closures and
right. Since we're bearing, we're going to be able to get the structure up, get the roof on, and then the only thing we'd probably do is maybe just use some temporary partitions to contain it, and then do all the roughing during the winter. So. We're in really good shape.
So your key dates for enclosure is really between November 17th and December 4th or so, based on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still 45 days out,
right,
roughly, from that.
Right.
So weather still can be a factor.
Absolutely.
And that's the key thing for everybody to know.
Appreciate that. Right. Yep, that's very good.
And when you say partitions, are you saying just areas of openings that we're still going to have?
Any openings
so that they can be closed so you can heat inside,
right,
so you can do all the work and all else and be temperature controlled like last year.
Yes.
Okay. So we just all need good weather for the next 45 days.
That's all.
A little bit there.
Yeah, if we get a really strong cold snap, that'll affect everything. So, but if it happens the way the averages would work, the schedule works.
Thanks.
Okay.
The updates are getting shorter.
Yes.
Well, fifth time's the charm.
Figured out, right? Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
PTA Executive Council report. I do not see Veronique. Or, oh, Katie, are you?
Thank you.
I was assuming. So.
For those who don't know me, I'm Katie Prescott. I'm the Ben Franklin PTA president, and I'm filling in for Veronique. I haven't done this before, so excuse me. I understand I have 5 minutes to go through everything. The council meeting, the business leadership, the principals attended to discuss the business leadership team. They are comprised of, for each individual school, the principal, a selected group of teachers, the special support staff, parents, and the PTA. Their goal is to discuss school improvement processes, data analysis, and professional development. They work to identify goals, action plans in each school. They monitor progress during the year and summarize at the end of the year. Hadley, then they moved on to Hadley. Their membership for the PTA is up. They are currently doing their Magazine Madness fundraising. But within that, they had a candy bar reward system, and there was an allergic reaction, so that was discussed. And then Dr. Gordon mentioned that the district is now looking at, not because of this, but in continuing with this, looking at the health and wellness policy for our school district. So it was a good discussion, and I'm glad that they're looking at that. Third Thursday has been discontinued, but an alternative option is being discussed so parents can still participate and attend at Hadley's school. We went on to Forest Glen. They are doing a campaign that is We Are One that has been very successful. It involves each staff, student, faculty, and support staff receiving a t-shirt that says "We Are One." It created a cohesive message across the school. There was a photo op and a press was invited. I believe it was the removal of the
portables
and kind of bringing the school together. So it's been very positive. And they're going to keep that theme throughout their fundraising initiatives and the other school events to kind of keep it going throughout all the continuous year. Lincoln didn't have much. They had the first PTA meeting. I believe the budget was passed. They have four teacher appreciation days throughout the year. And they're looking at new ideas for their high interest days. Churchill, again, their PTA meeting was held. The budget was passed. Kelly Kane, who's the PTA president, mentioned that they would like to have a boot camp for adults and parents and staff members on FLESS so that they can help facilitate those students that are Spanish as a primary language and English as a secondary language. The fifth graders give back. They're going to be more focused on the service and fundraising initiatives this year. The November PTA meeting will include Dr. Gordon and Carol Carlson. The fifth grade mixer that incorporates all the elementary schools will be on Friday, May 6th. And they're doing international night. So that was discussed as well. Lincoln and Churchill do an international night. I know myself, Ben Franklin, we're going to be possibly looking at that to incorporate more cultural diversity within the communities. And then Ben Franklin, my school came last, and our PTA meeting was held and our budget was passed. At the very end of the PTA meeting, a discussion among parents started occurring. At this point, the principal and the Board of Education, Joe Moshensky, they weren't there, but a meeting, the discussion started occurring about the class sizing, the blending of the fourth and fifth grade, looping, the length of the school day, the AP schedule, time management, introduction of the specialties, the PBLs, and the grading system. So ultimately, a larger discussion broke out about the changes and pace of change and the monitoring of what was been successful and what hasn't been successful within Ben Franklin has occurred. Since then, and this is kind of rolling up, Principal Samples has offered to host a number of coffees to open the forum of answering those questions that parents have. And Dr. Gordon has also facilitated the donuts with Dr. Gordon. And those dates and times were addressed. The WIT will be open office hours from 8:45 to 9:45 at each of the individual schools. Now, anyone can attend. You don't have to be participating at that school to participate if your schedule permits. Churchill will be Friday, October 16th. Forest Glen will be Wednesday, October 21st. Ben Franklin will be Thursday, October 22nd. And Hadley Junior High will be Wednesday, October 28th. The Board of Education was also mentioning that they will be doing a survey forthcoming, where the staff will be survey will be launched late October, early November. The parent survey will be late January or early February. The community outreach survey will be May in 2016. Cultural arts and STEAM was discussed. The music camp is still an idea that's in progress. Community outreach, currently we're trying to figure out how to work the logistics of the tax-exempt form for Family Tree resale. They are not a tax exempt facility, but we are requesting our families to donate their services or their used goods to them, and we're trying to work that out. Reflection dates are being set for final award night, and for SPAC, they have held their first meeting in September at Forest Glen. The next meeting was Thursday, October 8th at Panera Bread. And the next October meeting will be Becoming Your Child's Best Advocate, Strategies for Parents, which will be from 7 to 9 at Forest Glen. Carol Demise will be the director of Educational Advocacy and Consulting, is the guest speaker. And then the WDSRA Assemblies Update. They're currently identifying dates for each school. Teachers and some parents have raised questions of why students' aides do not attend the IEP slash 504 meeting, since they spend the majority of the time with their children. And then the CASE is holding an educational opportunity, the IEP process, a partnership approach, that is October 20th from 7 to 8:30 at D89 Boardroom at 22 West 600 Street, Butterfield Road. Sorry about the address. I'm not exactly sure if that's what it is, but it's given to me. And the last part of the council meeting was the parent season, and Gilda Ross was the special guest attendee. She spoke about the importance of parent series and how it's not just for high school students. She mentioned that on Thursday, October 8th, there was a luncheon preceding the speaker, and that was How to Raise an Adult by Judy Lindhouse-Hand. I plotted that name, and I apologize. She's a former dean of Stanford University. So that was it.
Katie, nice job.
Yes, Katie.
Way to go.
That was a lot of information.
I asked Veronique what I should send, and she sent me all of it. So.
That's good. Did a great
job. I do have some questions, and I'll kind of go backwards.
Sure.
So the student aid question, I think that was a good question. Is that, was there a takeaway from that? Was that a...
You know, I need to be honest. I don't remember that specific question during the council meeting.
I don't remember.
So it was in the notes that Veronique sent, but I think it was part of the larger discussion. And the representative for SPAC wasn't even there at the council meeting, so I don't think there was a chance for a full discussion on that topic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back some more. You talked about the Ben Franklin discussion, and it sounds like there was a larger conversation, and I actually went to Kurt's coffee last week. But when that conversation was being had at the exec council, what was the sentiment of the other PTA presidents around there? Because it sounds like you touched on a lot of topics.
We did. I mean, you know, it didn't go into a full discussion of it. The Lincoln said they had the same concerns, and I believe it was, and I don't mean to be sorry, Forrest Glenn had a very positive experience, and then I kind of came after that, and it was kind of a polar of an experience. But all the schools said, yes, they have very similar experiences. There's concerns arise. I don't think it was at the length or the discussion that had happened at Ben Franklin, but all the schools kind of occurred that there was concerns.
Okay. And is the attempt to try to address that called those copies that you're having at the schools? Is that what that was?
And I can tell that with principal samples, what we have done is we collectively we opened the forum to have any parent that had concerns and send me emails directly. And then I have kind of categorized them and condensed them so they're not repeating over and over. So our initiative is to work with principal samples and, you know, Dr. Gordon to make these opportunities that they're bringing to us precise and having the questions be addressed. There'll be open forum, but moving forward, I will give them a topic that will then be advertised. Say, oh, we're going to be talking about, you know, PBLs. We'll be talking about moving. And then that will be advertised as the next time in meeting, so those parents that are concerned will know it's worth come to those meetings. And, you know, so I think hopefully it will be a good use of their time and a good use of the parents' time.
Okay, and then you guys are going to be getting that feedback to the council and the presidents, and is that how that works?
I'm sure you guys will hear everything.
Yeah, well, not only for the board, but the other council.
The only thing that happened with the first meeting is that I wasn't able to collect the information and principal samples.
Right, well, it's good to hear that, you know, those comments that you had at exec council, you were hearing both support and evidence in the other way, like you said, with Forrest Glenn. So it helps me as a board member to say that, okay, you guys are all talking together and this is what you're getting.
Right.
And that comes back through.
And I'll be reporting back at the council meeting. The council meetings, you know, there was a lot of information leading up to that. Everyone kind of agreed, and we didn't go into specific, you know, details of it, but it was confirmed that there was concern.
And the first topic you mentioned was the BLTs, and you kind of went through some definitional of it. Was there a conversation in the council with BLTs?
Yeah, I think that was a longer conversation. Mm-hmm. I think some people, myself included, didn't really know the full scope of why there are BLTs and what they were used for. And correct me, you know, I know Principal Samples was there. I believe the principal for Hadley was there, and then the principal for all principals were there present. So they were able to contribute and give some information of what it's used for, how they're, you know, embracing not just the voice of, it's a collective voice, so it's not just the principals talking down, it's a group discussion among teacher, staff, parents.
And what was the sentiment in the room as the, after that presentation to the
You know, I would say that they found it informative, and everyone was, you know, agreeing that that's a good tool to, you know, kind of gauge what's going on within the school.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Katie. Excellent. Awesome. Terry, appreciate it. You can come back anytime.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done.
And I apologize if I didn't
stop
the questions. I didn't know.
No, you're good. That was great.
Patrick did
a nice job. Anyway.
Did a great job.
All right. Superintendent's report.
Okay, we'll start with the architect interview process, and I'll let Becky walk you through the process itself.
I think it was at your August 24th meeting, finance meeting, that it was determined that the district was going to go out for a request for a proposal of architectural services. I think it was the second day I was here. The proposals actually were sent out to various firms and posted on our district webpage. So that, anybody who was interested could have that information. The proposals were due on the 30th of September. We received 13 proposals from 13 separate firms. Dr. Gordon and Dave and I are in the process of reviewing those. And the process to select an architect is pretty cut and dry. It's all outlined in the school code. There's not much deviation. I've done this way too many times to remember over 100 years. And the one bizarre aspect of selecting a new architect, as you go through those interviews and you go through your the series of questions that you would to make your inquiries, you cannot talk about fees. You can talk about services and what they do for you, and they're talk about the reference list, but you cannot talk about their money. That's the process that's done once we select the top three firms, depending on how many you want to interview. I would not recommend that you interview all 13 people that submitted a proposal, that we narrow it down anywhere from 3 to 6 proposals and interview those firms. Once you go through the first round of interviews, you could, as a committee or a finance committee or a board, decide that you want to just do one interview and make a selection and rank them 1, 2, 3. And then we would come back at a following board meeting and ask authorization to negotiate with that particular firm. And if we weren't happy with the terms and the financial conditions that that firm presented to us, then we would go to our second firm on our ratings of 1, 2, 3. But I will tell you that in my experiences, the first firm that you have the conversation with is usually pretty willing to negotiate. And I think the districts that I have been involved with have been satisfied with the results of that process. So it's just a matter of timing. I think I jokingly said during the finance meeting, 100 days doesn't go very far. And where we had planned to quickly proceed with this process through October and bring a recommendation back as early as November, most likely December, I'm asking that we actually just put the interviews off until the late November, early December timeframe, so that we can do our due diligence and with the other things that I have in my limited days to accomplish, i.e. the audit being one of the most high priorities for me right now, is to getting that finished in front of the board so that we can look at the June 30th financials. So I'm asking that we delay that. If you saw in the memorandum that was in the facilities, and I'm sure it's in the board packet, that I've suggested a committee, the superintendent, the director of buildings and grounds, the middle school administrator and elementary administrator, the chairperson of the finance and facility, and the co-chairs of the task force, to participate on that committee in selection of the new architect or rear farm, our current architect. And again, I just open it up for questions, and Dr. Gordon, if you have anything else to say.
No, you did a great job summarizing.
Is there a, Becky, is there a rubric that you use? I mean, I went, I saw the school code, I went back and read it, and I, you know, read your report. But internally, is there a rubric that we're using as a...
That should get to be developed. I think every district does it differently.
But we did with the construction manager.
And I haven't looked at those documents yet. Mm-hmm. In some of the districts I've done it in, it's been a secret ballot. Rank these firms 1, 2, 3, and it's majority rules, which there's a logic to that. But it really depends on what the preference of the district is at that point in time. So I'm assuming we will develop a
rubric
to make that evaluation.
All right, thank you very much.
Can we see the 13 firms? Can we get an update on that?
I'll mm-hmm. make sure that I compile a list.
And just to go over the summary of this, Dr. Gordon and Dave will go over the 13 firms and bring them down. And your memo recommendation had 3, but you just suggested it could be more.
It could be more. We have to narrow it down to 3 and rank them 1 through 3.
Oh, at the end.
Yeah.
So the interview process could be anywhere you were suggesting 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
No more than 6.
Yes, I agree.
3 works. I've done it with 3. I've done it with more. So it really depends on the suggestions and the recommendations from the board, because this is a board decision. You hire the architect. Mm-hmm. You direct the architect. We have to make sure that your input is given along the way.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
No. The committee is who would determine.
The committee would make the recommendation to the board. Correct.
But the first cut's done by Dr. Gordon. So they're going to take it from 13 down to a certain number.
Right.
And then the committee's interviewing that certain number, 3 to 6, is basically what's been thrown out there. Mm-hmm. So I think after your review, you'll make a recommendation and they can review it. As we ask for the 13 firms,
yeah.
You see that, then you guys will make your recommendation and we'll make that final list. And if we want to adapt it at that time, we can send information before we do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Sounds good to me.
I will facilitate the process. I won't be here next year to work with them, so mm-hmm. I just thought I facilitated the process on behalf of the board. That could keep it moving smoothly since I've done this. This will be the 3rd time in 6 years.
Good.
I'd make one recommendation that we add a second board member to that rather than just having, you know. I like Joel, but we just have 2 points of view on there. You know, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
2 board members.
Have another voice.
Okay. I appreciate it. All right. Becky, thank you. And thank you for all the work you're doing. You have been fantastic to work with, and your background, your knowledge. It is wonderful. We all really appreciate what you're doing for us. So thank you. Just a couple brief updates. I attended the IASA State Conference 2 weeks ago. Great conference. Had a good opportunity to interact with other superintendents from around the state and engage in a number of different breakout sessions. One that of particular interest was one on communications. I wanted to go in and see what they were talking about and how it compares with what we were doing. Walked out of there just very pleased with our approach, the work we're doing, the number of outreaches that we do. And a lot of that credit has to go to Erica for getting me out there, really pushing the whole notion of the social media. That was not something we were doing here. Everybody was talking about that piece. Our principals are starting to engage with that social media as well. So just a lot of great things that we're doing currently that were being recommended by this panel committee on communication. As everyone knows, we can always get better, and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of books have been written on communication, and it's something that's critical to every organization. So we So we'll continue to improve on that area, even though we're doing exceedingly well. Heard a message from Consuela Kickbush. She's a retired major in the U.S. Army, and she spoke about her family and the challenges they had to overcome during their journey as a family. You know, her father deeply loved the United States, even though he was an immigrant. And he knew he wanted a better life for his family, even though he recognized it would be a struggle and a challenge. But Major Kickbush spoke so eloquently about how a teacher made a difference in her life and how this teacher believed in her more than anyone else within that, you know, outside that family, and how she ended up believing in herself to become the person who she is today, which is absolutely an amazing individual. But prior to retiring, the Army offered her a significant promotion with incredible responsibilities, just incredible responsibilities. But she chose to, in her words, to lay down my uniform, to work with students on a daily basis. And from that day forward, she had been working in schools throughout the United States, working directly with families to talk about the challenges, talk about how do we move forward, to make those connections. Mr. Cooper was her teacher that made that connection for her, who allowed her to see that she was more than what other people were making her out to be. And why I bring that up today is, you know, I participated in this idea of student for a day for myself. So I'm in schools. I've been in two so far where I reach out to teachers and say, hey, would you mind if I come in and literally spend the entire day with you and be in your classroom and sit in the kids' desks and sit on the floor when they're on the floor, go to PE, go to recess, eat at the tables, play Foursquare. Had to teach them really how to play the right Foursquare. We had a lot of rules, a lot of new rules since I've been out there. But what I saw and why I connected it to Major Kickbush, is because the connections our teachers are making on a daily basis with kids, all kids, it's just really impressive. The gentle push, we can do this, the administrators, the staff, the custodians. I mean, it is all in at our schools. It really is an impressive wraparound that we do for our kids. The day in life for me has been a great experience just to see from a student's perspective. Obviously, I'm a little bit older than most. But it's been a great opportunity for me to sit in the seats and to have that information flowing at me like the kids are. The day is fast-paced. Teachers are well-planned. They're thoughtful. The instruction is impressive. The engagement is so evident. I was in a classroom last week, and the students were having just different debates, and they were the intent was to try to persuade students to go from one side to the other, and it was just a wonderful experience. But again, tying back to my conference, our teachers, our staff, our administrators are making those connections on a daily basis, and I'm just so proud to be a part of this district who's doing those things on a daily basis. So really pleased with that. And then briefly, I had a comment regarding, when are we going to hear about multi-age, that update? So regarding level 2 literacy and level 3 STEAM for next year and years beyond, we'll be making those decisions in late January, early February. We'll be using academic data, survey data, feedback from teachers, discussions with administrators and cabinet, and making those decisions as far as those next steps. I know that's been brought up a couple times, so that'll be in that late January, early February time frame.
Dr. Gordon, what kind of academic data would you look at?
Right now would be really around that MAP data. That's our most consistent data right now. with Park coming out. I'm not sure when Park's going to come out. I know late November, but that'll be its baseline year.
And then how do you, with all the changes we've instituted, how do you differentiate the success or failure of multi-age?
What we're going to be looking at is how students have been performing these last couple years, comparing them against years past, but also using, in ensuring that we're using multiple data points from the surveys, the academic data, discussions, bringing all those pieces together.
And the academic data would be specific to math?
Yeah, I think right now that makes the most sense. It's our most consistent.
Because we don't have
state. We just don't have, you know, with the ISAT going away, Park brand new this year with a baseline, and that's how the state is describing it as baseline data. Not at that level, at that 4-5 level.
I know I've harped on this, and this isn't, but again, I've told you this has nothing to do with you. But I still wonder, with our math data, with all the changes we've instituted, I don't know how our staff is going to differentiate and figure out what's attributable to what, but okay. You know, good luck to you on that.
Okay.
One of the things that I learned in my coffee with Kirk was there was a similar question that was kind of brought up relative to student learning. And I think Kirk and Jeff, the assistant superintendent, kind of clarified for me that...
Did you get a promotion?
Multiple data points that are used for. I think the question was when did the administration intervene in a child's learning? The conversation was taking a little bit, and it was. Do you use math data? And then mm-hmm. saying, yes, we use math data, but we don't only use math data. We use the one-on-one conversations mm-hmm. that we're having with the child and the student. So it kind of helped me understand that as math is a data point, there's some soft conversations that are happening between the teacher mm-hmm. and the administration to help develop when a kid needs to be evaluated in a different direction, yeah. positively or through corrective action or whatever. So I kind of relate just because of that conversation was mm-hmm. last week. So it will be interesting to see how that stuff goes.
Absolutely.
The multi-age conversation, is it going to be held at the extraneous committees like the PTA Council? Will it be a topic item for PTA?
I'll make sure it is at all the...
Yeah, so there's some awareness of this conversation is happening in January, so mm-hmm. those parent community groups are aware that that's happening.
Yeah, it's been a piece that I was able to attend the Lincoln PTA meeting 2.5 weeks ago, and I brought it up at my first donuts with Dr. Gordon. Brought it up, so we're trying to make sure that those pieces are out there, that everyone's aware of it, and then we'll put it in District Digest a few times.
Mm-hmm. I had one question I had about it is, not really. This isn't actually really specific to expanding it out to all of Level 2 and then Level 3 STEAM, mm-hmm. but. Have we figured out how we're going to handle multi-age or 4 or 5 next year? We already have it in literacy. How we're going to handle Spanish next year? Because this year's third graders are going to roll up in fourth grade next year, getting Spanish 30 minutes a day, mm-hmm. and they're going to be paired with fifth graders who don't get Spanish every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right now with the way our schedule exists, we have, 1 week they'll have Spanish during literacy class. 1 week they're going to have it during STEAM with the AB schedule. How is that going to work when half of our fourth and fifth graders' day is going to be spent with kids that either do or don't get Spanish?
So we've talked about it, but I want to go back with the team and I'll make sure I have I'll bring it back to you and at the next one. I just want to make sure that I answer it the way it should be.
And I know that dual language, that's kind of rolling up to the point that's going to be second year, fourth grade next year.
Yes. Yeah, dual language will be.
Fourth grade next year. And we'll be looking at our dual language program, and would we also make that a multi-age program as well as the rest of our schools. So
okay.
Just a couple of questions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. So that was it for me.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Public participation. I want to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit your comments to 3 minutes. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others, we ask that in the interest of time you forgo them and provide the board with any copies of written materials. And I say this every time. Anything you have written, please send to the district. You can send it to Mrs. Moak and we'll get it, or to any of the board members. Personal complaints, criticism about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Profanity, interruption, other interference with the orderly conduct of our business meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate District 41 staff representative for a response if a response is warranted. I want to add also that after the September 28th board meeting, I was approached with feedback that deserves a response regarding board meeting protocol. All community members, staff members, teachers, students that have come are welcome to participate in public comment and to do so free from critique by board members during the board meeting. That was not the case at the end of the last meeting, which prompted this feedback that was given to me. Personal criticism on the comments of a community member, a staff member, student, or teacher who participate publicly is not appropriate and will not be allowed in the board meetings. Civil discourse is expected in our schools and should be expected at our board meetings among board members, administrators, and the public. The board just completed a set of norms, which we worked really hard on, and I'm proud to say that we've adopted those. And so I want to encourage that to continue in our board meetings. So thank you. Mrs. Moak, who do we have?
Are you referencing me?
I am referencing all board members, administrators, all of us. We all have to.
I'm just going to state that if staff's going to get up and make comments, they need to make sure those comments are correct and accurate. And if they're not, we have a right to go ahead and correct those.
Kurt,
especially for making a public comment.
Kurt, what I read is what I said,
well, I
and that is all board members,
so,
administrators, people have the right to comment without critique
and
from
I have
the board.
A right, I have a right to respond to that comment, and I will continue to do so.
People have a right?
They do.
Civilly
they
to
do.
Come up and not be
and
criticized
right.
from the board.
I have a right to respond to those.
Not be criticized by the board.
I have a right to respond.
Point of order. We will not do that. Mrs. Moak.
I'll do what I want. So I'll respond as I
please. Mr. Cooper, can you come to the podium because we're on audio, video.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On June 10th, 2013, between approximately 2 hours and 55 minutes to 3 hours and 11 minutes on the audio of the board meeting, the following is heard. Patrick Escalante recommended that the amended motion for the Darlene Stone assistant principal position was, quote, including the subtraction of $89,000 from the 2013-14 budget to make the recommendation a zero-sum gain, unquote, end of quote. Also at that meeting, Board President Sam Black repeated this quote exactly. Also at that meeting, in reading the motion to be voted on, Nancy M. read the same exact phrase. There was crystal clear clarity on what was being voted on. Since that night, nothing was ever subtracted from the 2013-14 budget. According to a document I received from Dr. Gordon last year, one that I handed out at the last meeting to all the board, it says that to fund the second position, the one we're talking about, the administration made the decision to reallocate $100,000 from the Human Resources Department to the Building Administration account. The Human Resources budget decreased from $359,600 to $259,600, and the Building Administration budget increased from $1.694 million to $1.794 million. So, the administration decided to ignore the motion passed by the board on 6/10/13. Despite this response, I received a different answer in an email from Erica Nelson dated 8/15/15. She said the position was funded by the year's budget. The term zero-sum game was used, according to her email, to reflect that there was no increase to the budget to pay for the reinstated position. At the end of the last board meeting, I heard Mr. Escalante address this subject and say, yes, the deduction from the budget was discussed, but that, quote, continuing of that conversation where the board landed on reallocation. And it was very quiet, so maybe I missed a word in there, but he said that three times he said before it was done that the board had landed on reallocation. What does that even mean?
30 seconds.
To my knowledge, there was never any public discussions or actions on this matter after June 10, 2013. Can someone explain to me when this was publicly discussed and a change voted on? Otherwise, it sounds like an Open Meetings Act violation. Since I've got a couple more seconds, I'd just like to say, for the TRS discussion during the finance meeting tonight, I appreciate that. It looks like at least we're going to go to the full board and discuss it and hopefully have a vote on it. So I do appreciate that. And if I have any time left on the architect issue coming up.
10 seconds.
I'd like you guys to put in, and whoever you go ahead and sign with, that there's no marketing to board members from an architectural firm or any firm that's going to be a vendor with this district going forward. Mm-hmm. The shenanigans that have gone on several occasions with parties at the III conference and the New Orleans or Tampa, the Tampa...
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
You know what I'm talking about, the Tampa yeah. thing. It shouldn't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Cooper. Mrs. Moak?
Bruce Curry.
Good evening.
After last week, I would like to praise a couple of the teachers that have really touched my daughter's life in this district. One is Lisa Buchholz. She's by far been one of the most dedicated teachers at Lincoln and one of the best teachers I've ever seen. She's forgotten more about teaching than I'll ever learn. And her, you know, after leaving her her classroom, my daughter was in the 92nd percentile on the math score. I have nothing but praise for her. The other teacher the other day wrote, Mrs. Everett wrote, she's a level 3 Lincoln, and wrote a fantastic letter about not so much my daughter's math scores, but what a wonderful person she is. And I think she's putting my daughter through her paces mathematically, which is a good thing. But her attention to, I really feel like she connects with my daughter and is an exemplary teacher in this district.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Thank you very much. All right, discussion items. We have two on the agenda. The first one is board meeting, board agenda format, actually. And this was at the request of Stephanie, so I'll turn it over to you to kind of frame it for us.
Basically, I just wanted to have some discussion about the order of our meetings. We've had a couple of meetings where we've gone into closed session in the middle of the meeting, and I had some... We had some opinions about that, and I noticed we changed the format of our meeting recently. Not saying it's good or bad, but mm-hmm. with Dr. Gordon giving his superintendent's report before public participation, and I think I think that's in an effort to let the public hear what he has to say before they comment, which I think is one thing that I mentioned when I was trying to get a second public participation added to the meeting so people can maybe hold their comments until after they hear some discussion. So it seems to me that there's a recognition that there's some value in that. I am a little concerned. Like tonight we got to public participation pretty quickly. I know at the last meeting it was a much later time, and if you have a community member that wants to comment and wants to know exactly what time to comment, with the new format, they may not know when to come. So maybe we need to
reconsider having public comment at the beginning of the meeting, so if someone just has something they want to come say, get it on record, they know what time to come, but then also have a public participation subsequent later, like we're doing now. That's one thought. The other thought is closed session. I do think, in my mind, I don't like when we go into closed session in the middle of the meeting when we have the public sitting here, especially if they want to hear something that's later on the agenda, because we could be in there for 5 minutes, we could be in there for 20 minutes. And in respect to everyone's time who comes to the meeting, I think it would either make more sense to start our meetings a little earlier, maybe at 7:15, go into closed session, or if there's an item we have to go into closed session for because it's something we need to take action on in the meeting, maybe do that beforehand, just a few minutes before, or if it's something that's not critical that we don't have to take action on, just wait, do it in closed session at the end of the meeting. Just some of my thoughts. I know we probably have to discuss it with the whole board. I did look online, and I know Wheaton 200 and District 89 both have two public participations kind of broken up at the front and the end. And this, the purpose of actually putting this on the agenda, it was prompted by the closed session. It was not actually public participation, but with this new format we've had the past 2 weeks, I felt I needed to bring that up as well. So just my thoughts.
Yeah, that's helpful. This ties a little bit into my board report, but I'll bring it up now because it ties into what you're talking about. But when I went to the law conference, that update, one of the things that they talked about was just communication, and ties into a little bit of what you said, Paul, about the social media piece and just the amount of information that is expected to be available and the balance of that from a confidentiality standpoint, vis-a-vis transparency. And it was a really good conversation. But one of the things they included, and this ties into something you were saying, Stephanie, is were some samples of agendas, and they did kind of a red line and showed, you know, a really tight agenda with little information, another agenda that adds, you know, some more that's similar, much similar to ours where we have more data in it, and then one that is provides even a little bit deeper dive. So, you know, I think it's timely. And certainly, you know, the closed session and putting it in there at the beginning of the meeting, or, you know, kind of right after we open, is typically for items that can be quickly addressed and not to spend a long time. So I agree with you, that's not the intention of it. But, you know, through our policy, Paul and I sit down and look at the agenda and then kind of figure out, and that's why a shift was made in terms of moving his reports up, because they were being buried. And on some level, there was, well, not some level, but typically there's really important information in that. So the flip of that is, if they're too far in the meeting, then sometimes people need to leave and they miss out on some of the superintendent's information. So it's to your point, I think it's a balancing act to figure out what's most important. But I like the idea. I'm not opposed to the idea of you know, coming in a little bit earlier. Of course, it's a finance committee issue, so we'd have to balance it with that and when you guys could start. So there's different levers that get pulled when you make some changes. But, no, I think it's for the conversation.
But it's, you know, we're live streaming now, so anybody can be at home and watch Dr. Borden's report. So I don't necessarily think that's a response as far as that goes. But because I echo, I'm not going to repeat what Stephanie said, I echo what she's saying. I find it ironic that I do believe we're moving, we did shift some of that around so that you know, the public could hear the superintendent's report. But as far as closed session, it's a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen. You may assume that it's going to be quick, but you can't guarantee that. So so I'd be on that part of it. But again, at the last meeting, if somebody wanted to publicly comment, I think they were there for 2 hours before they were allowed to publicly comment. So that's just not respectful to the taxpayer.
I have to look back on that.
It was 9 o'clock, so it was a good hour and a half before public comment started.
Okay. We had some recitals beforehand.
Yeah, we had some unusual. That's the other thing, you know, depending on the board meeting, you know.
But when you go back and listen, the majority of it was questions under the superintendent's report.
They were.
Thank you. Good. Thank you, Stephanie. I have president meeting tomorrow morning. It's at 7:30. I don't know if anybody RSVP'd, but certainly it's open if someone wants to come. And I know, Stephanie, you're on for the 20th. we have you down for that. So, again, please bring in our conversation at that point. We can do some more detail around that. Good, thank you. And then the other one was ties into this alternative board meeting locations.
Mm-hmm. I guess no one else has any feedback about the, I mean, because I think if we're looking at moving closed session to earlier, I don't know if the finance committee, if there's any opinion on that or.
Well, look at
the case by case basis.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. You brought up the alternative. Is this your item?
No, this is on Stephanie. Yeah, she bundled this.
Well,
with,
I think Stephanie's
that.
Trying to get this clear. I mean, we can sit here and give out an opinion and do nothing about it and move it.
I'm for alternative locations. I thought it was good to be as income last time.
I just didn't really feel there was discussion.
To get some discussion and to get some thought process and see where everybody's at with that. Do we just leave it as is? Or do we
well, if people have an opinion, I'm going to assume they're going to present that. I don't need to call on everybody to do that, so.
Well, that was a criticism for my call. I mean,
yeah.
I know that.
I'm just we're adults. If we're going to say something,
idea,
we'll say.
And actually,
Stephanie, it's
a few months into my superintendency, we did try to move closed session at the very
and
beginning.
There was an issue with
the timing of a board member.
Yeah.
And we had to push that back.
Yeah.
So we actually tried it once, and some of us really liked it because it does help with the timeliness of it, that you could put closed session in there
on a consistent
basis.
To speak a little bit more about this, because we have to post the agenda 48 hours before the meeting, I mean, and to Kurt's point about this being audio videotape now, there's more opportunity for people to listen in live and then certainly do the recording. But the closed session, putting closed session in at the beginning of the meeting, the intention is to address issues that we presume will be quick. And so, to your point, Kurt, you're right, you don't know. But we only choose, Dr. Gordon only brings topics that will be presumed to be, quicker turnaround. So that we can do those at the beginning. I mean, the other of this, and not, I don't, you know, community members don't know this, but when our meetings end at, you know, whatever they end, 11 or 11:30, and we go into closed session, and certainly when we're in closed session, it's for important issues. And I know I've heard other board members say, it's hard to focus. It's, you know, it's late. And so that's another consideration to it as well that I think is, you know, is worthy of being conscious of at least. So...
My issue was with the late part of the closed session after it's just, you know, respect for the
absolutely. No, I'm hearing you.
I mean, at the last meeting when we went into closed session, it was for 20 minutes, and I know there were people who were at the meeting that left, and there was still a good portion of the meeting left that that would have stayed, but they were like, we didn't want to sit there, and we didn't know how long you guys were going to be in closed session. So
I hear you.
Like we were disengaging the community by doing that. And you know, it was just the thought, if there's something that we're going to have to go into closed session for, could we, I know finance committee's been canceled a couple of times because there hasn't really been much discussed. Maybe that's going to change once.
My impression of this is that in the 2+ years that I've been on here, we've had only a few times where we went into closed session early. And it was usually because we had to make a decision on something there that we were going to address later
on the agenda. Yeah.
I think that almost all the time, closed session is at the end. And maybe what we can do is just agree that if we go into closed session, and it's supposed to be a short closed session, and if it turns out that maybe it isn't easy to get through, we should just stop, because we're going to have a closed session later, come back, do the meeting, and then carry that over into a final one. I don't see that we do that often.
Done it 3 times since I've been on the board.
We've gone into closed session at the beginning of the meeting.
That's a bit dangerous, though, in that you're going to take action. So we're obviously doing it so that we're taking action so that the public can hear us take action.
Right.
If you're moving it then to the later session, that could be 11:30 at night, and then we're asking anybody that's interested about that to meet at that point. So,
that's the balance.
Yeah. Which is why I think it's really important to have a very tight meeting with understandable times when you're going to end the meeting, so that if people want to stay for the whole meeting, they know when it's going to end.
They have a framework.
Right now, we can't do that because we never know when our meeting is going to end.
Well, it's clarity. I hear what you're saying, and I think even as we've had this discussion, you can see that there's, you know, we have to be clear about why we're doing
short,
it. Short and focused, right, exactly. So I appreciate that, and thank you. All right. Board meeting location. So we were at Lincoln 2 weeks ago, and Stephanie also wanted to talk a little bit about board meeting locations, and I think in part it's because of our video streaming now as well. So
I know. I had heard feedback from some people that they liked the video streaming, and they were disappointed that they weren't going to be able to have video streaming with the location at Lincoln. And so it had me thinking that there are times I know when we might have a bigger board meeting and it might need to be at Hadley. So should we look into investing in some additional equipment? So if we did have to have a big meeting, or it could be at Hadley and we could do a video stream. And I don't know that we have to have a decision on this tonight, but maybe
bring back costs
and, mm-hmm. and numbers of what we've seen for the streaming. I mean, I think from the initial numbers that Mike sent us, it seems like we have a lot of engagement with that, which we didn't really see before. I mean, just comparing that to the numbers that I think Eric has shared with us on people that watched listened to the audio before. I mean, I think we, in one meeting, we surpassed what people listened to the audio, I think, all last year. So I just think it seems like it's an important way to add to our community engagement. And mm-hmm. I don't want it to get to the point like, oh, we have to have a meeting at Hadley and mm-hmm. we haven't been proactive in figuring out that something. Yeah.
No,
sure
I agree.
You
brought this up before, though, and I think I know at one meeting, present meeting, I'd asked Paul if we can, you know, look further into that. So just get some costs for that.
So do we have consensus that you want the administration to go look for?
Does that make sense?
Add it to the capital budget priorities.
Dave?
We'll get back to you.
So consensus to look for.
Can you tell how many people are in?
14 right now.
14. Okay. So I want to know how much this is going to cost.
Yeah. So that you're getting a consensus to move forward and look for an alternative solution that would be mobile. Solution.
To look for it, but...
Yeah, I will bring that back to you.
Because even if 14 is more than what we had before, 14 is a lot.
I concur with that, Tim. And I also believe anything you do look to invest in, quickly, if it is mobile, would have a multiple use to it. Mm-hmm. Students at Hadley could use it for their PBLs or things like that, so that you're not just using it for every other Monday.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, yeah.
We should maybe look if it's cheaper to be, you know, permanent than it, maybe just have something at Hadley. It's more for it to be a larger location, because we're limited with the attendance that can be here.
From my standpoint,
that's more important to me than going to all the schools.
Well, I go the other way. I do like the community school feel, because I feel like maybe if we go to Ben Franklin next, you might get more Ben Franklin participants, because it is two blocks down the road, right?
I mean, I think that on the flip side of that, we were at Lincoln, and we had parents there for the singing at the beginning, but then I think we have the same people there that come when it's here. And I've heard people say they like the meetings in the same location. It's kind of consistent. They know where they're at. And I also did hear from Lincoln that the acoustics were terrible, and actually people couldn't hear. They couldn't hear any of us.
I had those same things too.
So that was actually the feedback they got from Lincoln. So I think that's something we need to be.
I had opposite feedback.
Yeah, I
was going to say I had people come up to me and say that it was great that it was so close. They felt like they could come to the meeting, and that's happened before when we've done this. I know we did it at Hadley, and we've done it other places too. And what I would suggest is that, and what I'd like to see us do is have one of these meetings at one of the new classrooms, and open up the classroom and set up, you know, the board at one end of it, and allow people to be in the classroom, so that it gives them another reason to come and see the new classrooms that we've opened up.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to everything you do. There's pros and cons to everything you do. Having 14 people watching right now, maybe it bumped up to 16 because it's such a hot topic. But the thing is you have pros and cons.
Yeah.
So being in the community is important. It's good for us. being in the classroom, great idea. It's important. If you get something mobile and it can be multiple use,
let's use the communication line. Let's use the channels that we have. Let's ask Kelly to go to PTA Exec Council and ask the PTA president, what are your thoughts on this? That's the whole reason why we have some of these forums, is to get that leadership communication back to us as a whole. Mm-hmm.
And how might it encourage more dialogue.
Why don't we ask that? Why don't you could ask that as a survey question, because I know Patrick loves to use the PTA as the avenue for information to us, but we really need to find out from the entire community. The PTA represents a segment of that, but if that's where you're heading, then put it on as a survey question to see what
that's fine. But I think if you want to immediate feedback to get
that's a very small segment.
Let's see
what the cost is, both for a fixed option and for a mobile option.
So that's what I feel like we have consensus on: bring back a fixed and a mobile cost.
What was the library cost?
The library
that it has.
$240.
And Lincoln was $155. So I would think so.
With
1.2.
Yeah,
that's
what
I thought. I'm sorry.
I was going to say,
we got a $250. I would hope that thing's wired well for that kind of money.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Find it cost efficiently to go ahead and get a camera put in there.
I think it should have a multiple use, because we're only using it 3 times a year going mobile for that meeting. So,
I can't imagine this is costing more. It's going to be, my gut feeling is it's going to be a small amount of money. I don't know that it's going to be 10 grand. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be less than that. But, with some of the money we toss around here, I'm pretty sure it's probably not going to be on the
thanks, Kurt. Let's get the cost.
Okay.
Last thing I want to say is I want to thank Mike, because he did send out that information around the, to Stephanie's point, the number of views, I guess it is. But what I had asked him to do was, can you drill that down to, because I'm curious about a dropping off point. Is there a time at which people then turn off and then they go back and watch the recording? So I don't know if you can do a deeper dive, but that'd be great. Thank you.
I think we need to be careful. I know for the rest of the year, because I did it. Expressed concern if we're going to be doing remote meetings. I think for the rest of the year, all of our meetings are scheduled here, so it's a moot point for this year. But mm-hmm. I think we do need to, if we are not going to be able to, because video streaming a meeting versus audio, there is a big difference. I think it's hard to follow a meeting when you're just listening to it versus watching it. But if we aren't going to move forward with that, I think we have maybe to have more discussion about how we're going to proceed with it, because I find it interesting that we talk about this being a business meeting and we need to keep public participation down because it's a business meeting, but yet we're going to go have our meetings in classrooms. Is that us conducting a business meeting, or is that like PR to show off the district? And I think we need to kind of keep in mind what we're trying to do in these meetings. So just as
well,
we need to have going
let's
forward.
Let's see what we get back on costs, and then I think the board can think about, some of the value. The original intention of this, which is literally like 6 years ago, brought it by a former board member, was to provide opportunities for parents, exactly what we're still talking about now, to be able to walk to a meeting, come for whatever part they wanted to, but to have some access and some connection to the board, and also to get the board into the buildings, like District 87 does. They're each of their four high schools and their main district office, so they rotate too. So that was the original intent. I think we're still talking around that, but let's see what the cost is.
Okay,
we can
tell. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Action items. Our consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes item one, the human resources, A, personnel report, 1, employment recommendations, 2, resignations, and we do have a blue sheet for an update on our table. Item 2, finance, facilities, and operations, A, school district payment order, September 23rd, 2015 through October 6, 2015. Item 3, other matters, A, approval of board meeting minutes, September 28th, 2015, Board of Education regular meeting, and September 28th, 2015, Board of Education regular meeting closed session, and item B, the addendum to the intergovernmental agreement for food service with Marquardt District 15.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mr. Buckle?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Superintendent's recommendations. No items for consideration tonight. On to board reports. Any reports from board members?
I can go first.
Yeah.
I had four. I'm going to be really quick. I went to a very, very fast Forest Glen PTA meeting. I think it only took 20 minutes. All we did was vote on the amended bylaws, and that was really quick. I gave a summarization of the ribbon cutting and talked about the donuts with Dr. Gordon, so it was good and it was rather short. So, also went to both ribbon cuttings, and I don't know if that's going to be covered at some point tonight, but they at Forest Glen, the kids gave a presentation, or they presented at the end right before we cut the ribbon, and I was shocked at how well spoken the children were. It was from the heart, but also just their ability to speak in public in a room that was full of people was phenomenal. We had a lot of people show up for that, and also when we went back over to Churchill and did it there, it was a very good event. A lot of people there. They were excited about the rooms they have, and they were equally excited about the rooms they were going to have to get this done. So it was a great time. And the last thing is I attended the ISB dinner, yeah, for the quarterly dinner, I guess it was, or half-yearly dinner. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was something that's near and dear to everybody's heart, and it's about what they're going to do downstate with the budget and what they're going to do downstate with pension costs. And so, from the speaker who is the head of the business officer.
I asked him.
Yeah.
Dr. Jacoby.
Jacoby, yeah. Mm-hmm. From his point of view, he thought we're probably looking to the January, February time frame for something to happen. It was very informative. It was a great night. So, thank you.
Good. Other board reports?
I went to PT Council. I won't add anything. You did a great job. other than to say that I did comment that I appreciated the courage coming from Franklin to address concerns, or ask the concerns be addressed. Mm-hmm. And I also added that hopefully at some point we don't just take the approach that the questions continue to come, that we don't answer by saying, well, you just don't like my answer. That mm-hmm. we actually look at those things and make modifications. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I went to the Lincoln PTA meeting October 1st. They passed their budget, and as was already said, Dr. Gordon was there, and he fielded some questions. There were some questions on their multi-age and when the decisions were made, and he kind of talked about that. There was also questions about, how we're monitoring what we're doing, what sort of data are we doing with that with? I know that was one I don't know if there was really any definitive answers on that one, but I know that was a question swirling around. So definitely some questions for parents at Lincoln. The other thing I just wanted to mention, I went to the facilities task force meeting, and the only thing I wanted to mention from that is that I know there was a presentation of information kind of for what we're looking for in the district. And one of the things I saw there was like needs of what the district needs that was presented to the task force. And in my mind, I'm looking at, part of me was thinking, I'm like, well, are some of those wants or are those needs? And I just wasn't sure, if the board is directing the task force on some of these things, should we be weighing in on those or not? Or maybe that's coming from the staff or the administration of the buildings. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not trying to make things difficult. That was just my thought sitting there. But if that's truly I think we need to maybe be clear on some of these things. Like, this is what our building staff thinks are our needs. Because I think as a board, I don't think we've prioritized some of those things as needs. Just a point I wanted to mention.
Good. Thank you. Other board reports?
Yeah, we had the finance committee. most people here attended for fall or summer.
So what happens?
So it was very good. Thanks for attending. A couple of topics we touched on was Lori's comparative compensation study of the 10 districts we gave her to get data on. 9 returned it. You all should have received her summation, and if you haven't, certainly request it of her so you can get it. It's going to an item that we asked to be moved forward to the agenda for the next board meeting, the 26th, I believe. So hopefully we can accommodate that, and I'm sure you will. The other thing we did touch base on, or we did talk about briefly, but table, was the assistant superintendent, Lori, asked us. It's kind of a focus group questionnaire type thing to get some feedback from us, so we all have it on the committee now, so we can prepare for next meeting and give her some feedback. If anybody else would like to join in, please do. I think it's always good. I know some of you guys interview people often in your professional life, so feedback I think is very good to get for Lori. The other thing which we bombarded Dave with lots of questions before his presentation. Something you alluded to, Paul, we often do. But the capital projects, we really focused on the 2016-2017 school year. There's a good list. There's questions. There's going to be some enhancements to the list, and hopefully we can continue to have that discussion as we put together the budget for 2016-2017. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much it.
Okay. Anything else?
I was at the PEP meeting last Wednesday. They're very busy in there.
And PEP, tell everybody what PEP is again. Partners.
Partners in Educational Progress, right, which is the districts and this district and the other feeder districts in 87. Mm-hmm. So that's. That the numbers for each district that are part of PEP, and it's a 501(c), so it's a charitable arm of the district. So D has been out; she's been sick for a while.
D Manier is the executive director,
and she's been the director for 20 some years. We're trying to do our annual fundraising without her, which is somewhat challenging. I know that we would really like to get some more help from Erica.
Just that Erica.
Yeah. Way to go.
Clarification.
Erica
Brable.
Clarify. I actually made a mistake in the meeting.
Oh, did you?
I said, well, what do you need Erica
for?
But I know that there's some time constraints, but they'd love to have you at any time of the day, even if the weekends don't work, or the evenings don't work. Next month we'll start the letter drive.
Okay.
Great. Good. It's an important fundraising, because then it provides scholarships, et cetera, money out to all the schools and the feeders. So thanks for still being our rep, Joe.
At the beginning of that, I was just going to ask, it's not a board report, but you asked Tim to explain PEP.
Yeah.
And I think you've been working on some acronyms. So
yeah.
Are we going to post that? Or?
Yes, I have them. I'm just printing it up.
Okay.
We've updated our acronyms list.
Because a lot of people have asked that, and we're going to provide that to the public and also to the board meeting, so you understand what some of the language.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah. Great idea.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very, very much.
My board report is I attended, as I mentioned earlier, the school law conference, and I sent a copy of this to Nancy so she can put this in the minutes. It's one of 4 school law seminars offered by Franzik Radulet for school board members, administrators, staff. They used to do a January conference that we would go to, and they stopped that, and now they're doing kind of topical areas, which I think is actually a better format for it. So it's from 4 to 7, and over at McDonald's Corporation in Oak Brook. So the focus this time was on school law, all the updates, and I have a binder, and also I'll send the link to Nancy. So if you want to go into the link, you can look at all the materials. It's really very good. They always do a good job. But the focus was on school law updates, including what's next in Springfield and a review of changes in legislation. And it was this just list of the legislation that has gone through and then also what's going to be coming down the pipe to impact. One thing I did make a copy of for everybody, because I know we saw this in the update that Francis gave us, but I think it's really important to take a look at. And this was the legislation on student social media accounts and the change in legislation on schools, districts being locked out of accessing the media. So I just think it's worthy of us, you know, again, being aware of as a board in terms of what the district's looking at. And so that was in our packet. Give a copy of that to everybody. The next ones are January 22nd. This one's for administrators under best practices for students, personnel, and business. February 26th is an employment law conference on labor trends affecting public sector. That's for board members as well. I think that might be worthwhile to go. And then on March 11th, it's for special education administrators, legal updates and changes. And, you know, my takeaway from this was as I was listening to the attorneys kind of rotate through their presentations, how much our administrators are having to constantly stay up to speed on, just from a liability standpoint, our administrators as well as our principals, but just from a liability standpoint, and then also then being able to, you know, present that back in terms of best practices with students, et cetera. So it is a lot of change this last legislative year in particular. Maybe not so much moving forward, but anyway. So the 26th might be one that we want to go to.
Is there a charge for those?
No, they're free of charge. Yeah, they're just anybody can go. They're probably. I want to say probably about 75 people there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 30% were superintendents and the rest were board members or other administrators. So, yeah, it was good. The other one, and I'm putting this under board report, is we all got our copy of our report to membership from IASB with the conference coming up. And this is the delegate assembly meeting. I know that I had sent out a note to everybody about serving as our delegate for the conference for that delegate assembly in the morning. This is it's a very short list this year. There aren't that many. I think it's four and two. Four. Recommendations on proposals, and then two reaffirming existing positions. And so I'm going to let you again think about that. We need to have a delegate. When is that due to IASB by? Okay, sorry. I thought we had talked about that, and the number went out of my head. But it's got to be by the end of this month, since the conference is the third week in November. So think about that. It's probably going to be a much shorter delegate assembly because it's only this four and six. So it's like 2 hours. But always interesting, and always leadership provides that kind of policy information on where boards should be looking from a governance standpoint. What are the things we need to be thinking about future-focused? Kind of just forcing boards on some level, and I think this is what the assembly does, is to get out of the weeds and really be thinking ahead on stuff we have to start getting our eyes on. So so think about if you can do that, want to do it. And then the last two things under board reporter quickly, I got copies that went to Dr. Gordon from the DuPage office, Regional Office of Education, just to stay up on this. End of August, temporary occupancy permit approval that they've closed out that permit for these particular buildings. It was Churchill Elementary, the first mobile. And then this other one that just came at the end of September was to close out the statement of completion on Lincoln Elementary and all the mechanical and sprinkler and all that work. So we get notified that they've crossed us off the list. So that's good because that means you're updating our records too. I know you're happy about that too, Becky and Dave. So that's on to board reports. All right. Other matters? Any quick items for other matters that you want to talk about?
I have some other matters.
Sure.
First one I wanted to ask about, I know Paul, we already talked about this a little, but I was thinking about it after the fact. So our student wellness committee, is that the committee that's also looking at the allergies and everything as well, or a separate committee that students have?
We're going to tie, we're going to, they need to see the allergy policy to be able to write a quality wellness policy.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different. Board, I mean, you two as the committee chairman will see that piece prior to them, but then we will give them that draft of that policy.
But I guess my question is, for the Student Wellness Committee, our food representative is our food service director from where we get our food now. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if we need to be looking at allergies and other things like that, if we should be having an outside person or some expert on that, like weighing in on this committee as well.
We have the school nurses who sit on Nancy.
They sit on the Student Wellness Committee,
yeah,
as well as the allergy. They mm-hmm. work in conjunction together to monitor the allergy.
So they
allergy
sit on that.
So they're, are they like the food and allergy experts? I just want to make sure we have like the right people, and I know. Do we need any sort of?
Well, I know the nurses. They're the ones that are responding with. Like the protocol for any kind of allergies mm-hmm. within their schools. I know that this came up, a couple years ago, and because there's a surge of use of EpiPens and all these other things. So it's really our professional nursing staff that they're kind of eyes on the prize on that.
And really trying to make sure that we're following the best practices around allergy and wellness, and ensuring that those two pieces are talking, but bringing in Sandy Voss from the Mark Court, who has to ensure that the food meets those standards. That's her role there. The nurses bring in that lens from the medical side of the house to ensure that, are we seeing those pieces? We have nurses who work in multiple districts who bring very different perspectives to the table. Feel pretty good about that, about the people who are sitting at the table. But always open for a suggestion if you feel like there's someone else out there that could give us a different lens.
And that's Wellness Committee we've got postponed.
Yeah.
November 4th.
For the
You're
policy.
Sitting on that, aren't you?
And Student Wellness is also reviewing, because isn't there like state funding tied with our food? Like, is there something tied, funding tied with our service?
It's tied in the sense that we get the national lunch program. So once you sign up for the National Lunch Program, you have to ensure that you are not serving foods outside of their requirements during the lunch period. So traditional, I'm just going to say bad snacks can't be offered during that time. And then before or after school by 30 minutes, the school or anyone else cannot be selling those types of foods before and after school. So yeah, there are a lot of rules and regulations when you're part of the National Lunch Program. Yeah, so we have to follow those pieces that are online for us.
Okay. All right, that was the
wrong one. Okay.
Sorry.
No, good.
Another thing, we've been talking about, parent involvement, with the district with like Team 21, DLT, and I know we're kind of set on those committees for this year. I think some of the principals right now are in the process of getting parents
kind of
to round up
yeah.
DLT. But I'm wondering for next year, since the term right now is for a year, if we could look into some sort of an application process where you could email out the community and say, hey, if you're interested in being involved in these committees, submit an application. To kind of balance that and tie that with, I know we get recommendations from our administrators, mm-hmm. but just to balance it and make it kind of fair and equitable, give everyone a shot to at least, let it know that they're interested.
That it's out there.
Right. And I know we're set for the next year, but I think the parent term on some of the teams is just for a year. So maybe,
okay.
And we have some time, so maybe, something we could look at.
I appreciate it.
In the spring to
Yeah, I got on that. Was it an email? It was a phone call, actually, from a community member who was a parent like 3 years ago and had served on their building leadership team. Had been invited kind of internally to do that, and is still on the D41 stuff. So saw the letter about that, and said it was really. She said, I don't know if you still need parents on building leadership teams. I think Mrs. Schweikoffer said they still needed parents at Lincoln for that. So she said, but I'm happy to be an advertisement for it. So you're right. I agree. I think it's opportunities out there, and And the letter kind of highlighted that, which was good, I think. It just reminds us that we need to always be thinking about process. So it's good. All right.
I have a couple.
I want to be just one clarification on this. When we do other, and this is certainly something to think about with our agenda too, what I want to be careful about is that it's not board discussion. It really could be an agenda item, because then it's not, then the public doesn't know we're talking about it. And so so I just want to be cautious of that, for us to be aware at least.
These are just my random things I wanted to bring up.
If
there should be a discussion, we can add it to the
agenda. We can add to the agenda, yeah. I'm making notes so we can talk about that.
Another thing I wanted to ask about is if we could get an update maybe at a future meeting, and maybe this is already planned on PBLs and what our plan is for that. The next thing, I just wanted to mention, I can email this one.
Okay.
That one. The other thing I wanted to bring up, I know for our communication norms, I've given Paul some feedback about board emails are reviewed with the purpose of making sure that we're getting back to the public. But I had asked, should those remain private so they don't impede with the public's communication with the board? And Paul's feedback to me was it's something we could discuss with the board. So didn't know if it's something that we would want to talk about at a future meeting.
Aren't they all foreable, though?
Mm-hmm. They are all FOIA.
Okay. So yeah. In essence, they're not private.
Yes, I agree. But I mean, yeah, they are all FOIA. I don't know if we want to
put that on
anyone
the
else
future.
Cares or doesn't care about that.
They're FOIA, but that doesn't mean that they don't. Yeah,
no, I just want to make sure.
What's the ask? The ask is, do
we need to be monitoring our board emails? Does the board secretary need to be monitoring board emails or not?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're all subject to FOIA.
Yeah, so what do you want them to do? Monitor.
Well, at this point, I think she's asking that there could be, because we don't want to get into a debate with Erica talked about, I think she's asking that we should place this as an agenda item. I think she's just, as a thought process, as a thinking, too.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, it's a part of our single point of contact, and it's a part of email protocol that has been in place forever. And the intention behind it is so that, you know, what Stephanie said earlier, and that is that our board secretary, Mrs. Moak in this case, is able to see, have responses been provided, and also to make sure that, you know, we know, too, that board members are responding. It's that, I think, part of the, it's this internal connection in terms of knowing that community members have been responded to by a board member. I know that I will blind copy a community member if it's something that we've all gotten, and it's that making sure that we all know. So, I mean, it's an administrative process. And part of that point of contact, so that it funnels through and there's recognition that things have been tied off. And it really speaks to what, you know, we talked about public participation, and that is if a response is needed, are we making sure that we're getting that? We've been talking about that for a year or so. Is this agenda worthy? Do you want to put it on the agenda?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should have further conversation about it. I mean,
we do.
You know, Joe, your response to me is your response, but because we've done it for 100 years and because we want staff to, you know, if a board member doesn't respond to the customer, then let the customer unelect them at the next election. So that's our responsibility, to make sure that we're responding to the customer. So if you're not, if a particular board member is not doing that, and typically, if one person is emailed from something, most of the time when people email us, they're emailing all of us. So, you may get that one that emails you directly, but typically that's probably somebody you know, and I would hope you respond to them. So, so for me, your thought process as to why it's done, I'm sure was accurate, but it doesn't hold any water for me. That should be looked at again. So,
mm-hmm.
So when we first got on the board. This came up at that time. I remember discussing it. I don't know if
discussing it. So people feel they want it as agenda item and discuss it again and change the phone call. Is that the best practices? Then let's discuss it.
Right. Well, the practice that we follow is practices that boards follow. And that's...
And that can come out in the discussion.
Yeah. So I would, why don't we put it on the agenda? I'm happy to put it on the agenda for next time. I guess my question would be to understand why. Why not allow Nancy, our board secretary, to see that? So I'll just, you don't need to answer it, but that would be my question. So we'll put it on for the
26th.
Okay. Okay, we'll add that. All right.
Another thing I had, I did ask for this thing on the agenda. Because I've done a little research and I'm confused and I would like to put the issue to bed. And if you don't want to put it on the agenda, I can just give you my thoughts now. But the assistant principal issue that we've heard about in public participation for a number of weeks, I can give you my thoughts on that right now if you want. I don't know if you'll need to have discussion, but I did ask for it to be put on the agenda. But since it wasn't, I still felt the need. It's an issue I still have questions about, and so that's why I was talking about it.
Well, I do as well, because the questions that have been asked, you know, I mean, I took notes. I've gone back and listened to the audio, and the terminology that we used that night is different than the terminology that we're hearing now. So, reallocation is different than deduction. So. Reallocation means you're taking it from here and putting it here. Deduction means it's gone. You're taking it away. And I don't know that this board's ever done that.
I would like to suggest, since there's been multiple emails on this from Mr. Cooper, and I know this continues to be a concern of his, as we heard tonight again, and that Patrick, in fact, went and did a deep dive and reviewed all that. I'm assuming we all received copies of that, right? Mm-hmm. So... this from a board standpoint, this was an action that was taken by now two previous boards in 2013, and in my mind has been responded to. I had asked Patrick to respond, to go back in and take a look at it, and I know Stephanie wrote me, and I did respond back to you with the language right out of the minutes. Mm-hmm. And the context, which is part of this, of the conversation in the minutes. So this is an item, in my opinion, that has been discussed and responded to multiple times, not just in August with my email, but prior to that, Mr. Escalante has done the same. I am happy to discuss it with you. I know Patrick would be. But I'm not sure what other information you need, because everything that we've gotten, we provided to you.
Okay, I'll just summarize my questions. I'll try to...
Right. I would ask...
It shouldn't go another...
Yeah, Go ahead. Summarize
Put it to rest, and so that is why I'm bringing it up, because I just have a question.
Okay.
My question is that... Let me first of all say, this has nothing to do with our assistant principals. I have nothing but respect for our assistant principals in our district. This has nothing to do with picking on the assistant principal. That's not why I have an issue. I want to make that abundantly clear, okay? But I know that back in 2013, when we reinstated one assistant principal position.
Stephanie, I'm uncomfortable because I really feel like this needs to be an agenda item, because it's not in there. So,
but you've just said that you didn't want it to be an agenda item. You wanted Stephanie to talk to you in private, and Mr. Escalante in private, and again.
So my question
we're supposed to be a transparent.
Let me finish. So my question is, from the minutes it said that an $89,000 salary expenditure with a reduction elsewhere in the 2013-14 budget. Then it says the motion that was voted on was a subtraction of $89,000 from the 2013-14 tentative budget to make a recommendation, a zero-sum game. Mm-hmm. So, and I know in 2013-14 and in 2014-15 we reallocated funds, mm-hmm. So technically we had a zero-sum game. And you could see that, I guess, in my mind, could you could say that we reduced the budget because we didn't increase the budget by the 89,000. But my concern is going forward, I mean, obviously it was recognized at the time that we were going to reduce the budget, and we just keep reallocating funds that we're not using to pay for this. Are we going to do that forever? Because in my mind, are we just every year going to reallocate funds for this, or are we going to make the determination there's not going to be a reduction in the budget? We are going to have to add this on top because we know we don't have funds we can reallocate to it. Like, what are we going to do?
So you're
I don't know if that.
So
that's my question.
So the conversation, and if I spell it out, so if you're unclear on it, the conversation of that evening was for that 1 year's budget. It was asked and answered several different times. Was this for this year's budget? The answer was yes. The reallocations, now remember, the agenda items and the notes are summaries of the conversations. If you want the specific details, the tape's still out there. It takes it all encompassing of what was discussed that evening. But the overarching comment there is that was for that 1 year's budget. It was asked by two or three different people. And as board members, when we review budgets every year succinctly after that, it is for those independent years going forward. And we have to look at it at a macro level when we receive our line item issues and have that conversation and see how these funds expenses are laid out. We did that each year prior to that without having the exact same conversation that we had in 2015. That's plain and simple. Every year we look at the budget and we approve the budget.
Well, was the term reduction used by you?
The term was I'll look at the email that I wrote. You probably have it in front of you. If it was, it was. Mm-hmm. But it was corrected.
Well, that's different than is that not reduction is different to me than reallocation. And I think the clarification we want is where was the reduction? There was never a reduction. There's been reallocation from that year. You can talk about that specific year. There was reallocation in that year.
Accident.
It was not a reduction.
Yeah. Accident. It's the last thing I'll say about this is also in the minutes, and I know you all have the minutes and they're out there, is also the context of that, which was clarification that those dollars would be reallocated. And so that board 2 years ago, in the context of the conversation and then the clarification of what would happen with that action taken, that's what that board voted on, that those dollars were being reallocated, right? So it's a question of, I think, understanding the words. It's just semantics.
And why
did
we reallocate?
Well, no, I understand the words.
Yeah.
Reduction and reallocation from the
actual. Right. Well, but again,
you're cherry picking words out of the
time, going back in the conversation. If Ann has brought this for us,
okay, well, you know what? I need to close this down.
Yeah.
I understand that you want clarification. I feel like Patrick has provided that. We have those minutes. There is, as I said previous times, there's a disagreement on how it was allocated in that year. And then, as Patrick has said, every budget year stands alone. They continue to be looked at independently. So,
but
I appreciate the question.
There's an email here from the superintendent saying that in 14-15, that the position was paid by reallocating funds. So, why did we do that the second year? If we were never intending to reduce the budget, I mean, let's just be honest and say that, because in my mind, it looks like we kind of got caught with our hand in the cookie jar. We added.
Yeah, I disagree.
No,
I disagree.
No,
and we're. I'm gonna close this conversation. Let me close this conversation. This action was taken 2 years ago.
That's
no,
counts.
This
that's
action.
The answer,
well,
she just
doesn't
like
understand.
The
I'm sorry, Kurt. Look.
Look, no, that's it.
Look,
we get down to we don't like the answers.
Excuse
you don't
me.
Understand. You're misinformed.
No.
You're misremembered.
Kurt,
these are all,
let
these
me,
are all things
let me clarify.
Taken out of the East German handbook.
Mr. Buchholz.
That's ridiculous.
Point of order.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, that's interesting.
Don't say that somebody doesn't
please.
Misunderstand.
Mr. Buchholz.
She clearly understands it.
Stephanie had questions. You have fellow board members. You ask the questions. I understand what you're asking. Mr. Escalante.
I'm trying to understand how we take a vote. So basically what we're saying is...
Stephanie, Mr. Escalante explained that. You have his emails. You have my emails. The minutes of the meeting are responsive to that. Right? There's motions on the table, a second to close this conversation.
I second.
You go. You guys heard it.
Can't do it.
Just out of the playbook.
All right. Let's. Let's close. I want to.
There you go.
I will close with this. I am happy to sit down and walk through every part of the minutes with you. I'm happy to do that. Mr. Escalante is happy to do it. We'll walk through it.
Right?
All right. Upcoming meetings. Let me finish, please.
Have a conversation here. I don't want to talk about it 101. I was honestly trying to understand it. I don't understand.
And you've been given your responses. And we've responded to it.
I don't want to understand.
And we've responded to it. Upcoming meetings. Upcoming meetings are October 26, 2015, Board of Education regular meeting, Central Services Office. November 2nd, 2015, there will be a Board of Education special workshop meeting.
Did we have anybody with other matters?
I don't believe so. No.
Did you ask? Did you ask anybody another
matter?
I do have another matter. I don't know that you ever asked that. So, I mean, I know Mr. Escalante and Mr. Elder like to close the meeting.
Stop with your snarky
comments.
Okay.
Hey,
you know what?
Right,
please, point of order. This is not civil discourse. Please stop it. Joe, please. Kurt, please. Kurt, what is your other item?
Number two.
Kurt, what is your other item?
The other item is was not an item until I sat down this evening, but I thought it was interesting. We talk about at this board with our norms about no surprises. How surprised was I when the president reads a comment about how we're not supposed to comment or critique or do anything to the general public as far as that goes? I'm going to make a statement here. I was elected for accountability, and when staff tells the general public that certain things are going to be in place for curriculum, and those things 2 short years later are taken out, and the board who voted on that is not even informed that they're taken out. It takes board members to figure this out, that they're actually taken out. And then we have a staff person comment on that. I'm gonna publicly comment back. So they have a right to comment. I absolutely agree with that. Mm-hmm. But I have a right to comment back. And the reason I do is because I was elected to do that. And you may not like that. You may not like how I operate. It's probably an agreement between both of us. But I will go ahead and comment. And you do not have the right to tell me that I can't comment. So,
what I am expecting of this board is that we speak civilly. That's the last word. And that's, Kurt, let me have the last word on that. That's the last word I'm going to say about it, is civil discourse. Upcoming meetings, October 26, 2015, Board of Education, regular meeting 7:30, Central Services Office. November 2nd, 2015 is a Board of Education special workshop meeting here in Central Services at 7:30 to talk about the long-range plan and also board district goals. November 9th, Board of Education meeting at 7:30 here at Central Services, regular meeting again. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session to discuss?
We're not going to need to.
We don't need to go into closed session.
Nope.
All right.
We're good.
No need to go into closed session. May I have a motion to adjourn the regular meeting?
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Vachensky, second by Mr. Escalante. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much.